have just a few announcements before the homily, some of which you may have heard, others you may not have. But once again, we do have our parish mission taking place this Tuesday and Wednesday, each night at 6 p.m. Father Travis Abadie of St. Francis Regis Church of Orneville is going to be here speaking to us about emotions and how they affect our spiritual lives. So again, it's Tuesday and Wednesday at 6 o'clock. It'll be Mass, and the mission will be in the context of the homily he's giving. There'll be confessions prior to the mission each night, beginning about 5:15. Next Sunday already will be Palm Sunday. We have blessing of palms at each Mass. Palms will be provided for you, but you're certainly welcome to bring your own if you like. Weather permitting, for this Mass, as we normally do, we'll have the procession. So we'll have the blessing of palms taking place over outside by the Sacred Heart statue under the oak trees. Bless the palms and have the procession, the traditional procession, into the church. Also, on a sad note, many of you know Deacon Chuck Ortego, who is a native of Ville Platte and was a parishioner here at Queen of All Saints. His grandson, Joey, has passed away. Joey was born 7 years ago with multiple birth defects. His family's had a very difficult time in caring for him, but did so heroically. And Joey himself died after the heroic struggle for 7 years. So I ask you to please pray for his parents, Mike and Nicole, and their families. Also, if you haven't seen this movie yet, there's a fantastic film that just came out. I think it was having a limited run, but I think if enough people ask for it, they can keep it going. The movie was called Unplanned. Marvelous film. It tells the true story of a young lady named Abby Johnson. Abby herself, as a college student, began as a volunteer for Planned Parenthood and was involved deeply in the abortion industry for a number of years until finally she has an epiphany of what truly happens and the lies surrounding it with the abortion, and she has a tremendous conversion. Abby is now a Catholic. She's a mother of eight. She was a former non-Catholic and, as I said, Planned Parenthood volunteer. But it tells the story of a very powerful conversion, which really kind of resonates with the gospel today. We all know that Planned Parenthood is in and of itself is anti-life and certainly anti-responsibility. Very interestingly, there was a letter to the editor in the paper on Friday from a young woman who's praising Planned Parenthood. When she was poor and down and out with no insurance, they tested her for HIV, which is interesting because we know that normally, HIV is transmitted through illicit sexual union. So again, you've got Planned Parenthood promoting things like this. And we continue, you know, killing children for the sake of our own responsibility and for personal sinful pleasure. So if you get a chance, please see the film in some way, shape, or form and promote the gospel of life, as we as Christians are called to do. You know, all that is a symptom. The fact that we allow children to die for personal convenience is a sign of the sickness that we have in our society. The society in which you and I live, the church included, has been affected deeply by sin. Not destroyed, but certainly crippled because of human rebellion against God. In order for society to become sanctified and holy, then we, the church, must become sanctified and holy. We become sanctified and holy by simply obeying God, being people of prayer, reception of the sacraments, and simply doing exactly what Mary said at Cana, doing everything that Jesus has told us to do. Society can only be transformed if we, the members of the body of Christ, become transformed. We must be holy. We must be sanctified. We must ask God's mercy and be filled with the grace that gives us that mercy. As a priest, I've heard it said many times, using this gospel passage as the excuse, well, you know, it's okay if I'm a sinner because Jesus is going to forgive me anyway. Look at the woman caught in adultery. He forgave her. And yes, he did. And yes, he does. But they tend to forget the very last verse that we heard in the gospel. Jesus also told the woman after saying, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. That's the part we tend to forget. Yes, Jesus forgives us of our sinfulness, but he does expect us to move away from sin and to live the life of grace and to do exactly what he said, go and sin no more. Prophet Isaiah says in the beginning of, or God himself says through Isaiah, in chapter 1, the beginning of the book of prophet Isaiah, wash yourselves clean. It's why we have Lent, to remind us to do exactly that. Wash yourselves clean, put away your misdeeds from my eyes, cease doing evil and learn to do good. Go and sin no more, Jesus says. Cease doing evil, learn to do good. Come now, let us set things right, says the Lord. It's interesting. This woman was caught in the act of adultery. Was she set up? Maybe. Was she trapped by the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees? Possibly. But look at what's at play here. Things like presumption. Presuming that God is going to forgive me if I premeditate a sin. Oh, it's okay if I do X, Y, and Z because God's going to forgive me. Well, not if you think about it beforehand. That doesn't work. Then there are sins of calumny and detraction, where we like to point out the sins of other people, say, oh, look how bad they are, without realizing how bad we are. It's a very rotten thing to condemn other people for their sins that we ourselves are guilty of. And of course, you've got hypocrisy at the same time, going along with that. So this woman is caught in the act of adultery. Which kind of leads us to ask a question. Why is it that sins of a sexual nature are so serious to begin with? Quite honestly, because those particular sins cut to the very heart of human existence. You and I exist because of the physical union of our parents. Human sexuality is a gift from God. It's a gift from God that human beings, made in God's image and likeness, can come together in an intimate act of self-giving love, and through that beautiful act, create another human being likewise made in God's image and likeness. That's the whole purpose of man and woman coming together in this intimate way. The act, in and of itself, is meant to be one of love, exclusive love between husband and wife, and self-giving commitment between male and female who are made one by the Creator. Jesus reminds us of that when he says in the Gospel, in the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. These two individuals come together. They were two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has united cannot be divided by man. In that union, the first couple, Adam and Eve, were commanded by God to be fruitful and to multiply, to fill the earth, subdue it, and to take responsible control of it, showing that stewardship. But this is what happens with Adam and Eve and everybody else. We tend to think that these gifts of God, our bodies, our minds, our souls, everything else around us, the earth itself, other human beings, all these things, gifts that God gives us, we do exactly what Eve did in the Garden of Eden, where she takes it and grabs it and said, it's mine. And it's mine to do with as I see fit. It's my life. I'm going to control my destiny. It has nothing to do from God. And so in that rebellion, we push ourselves away from God, and then all hell ensues. That's what happened to that sense of responsibility that God gave to Adam and Eve, that sense of stewardship. We claim that the earth is ours, to exploit it and to use it as we see fit. We claim sometimes that either other people are our possessions, and so we use people and exploit them for our own selfish desires. And then you've got the cry of the abortion crowd. It's my body to do with as I see fit. No. No, it's not. To any of these things. It is not your body. It is not your mind. It is not your soul. It is not your earth. It's not anything else. All things are God's. As St. Paul says, I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. You are not your own. You've been purchased by God at the price of the blood of the Son of God. You belong to Him, now and forever. The earth is His. All human beings are His. All these things, gifts that God gives us, are meant to be used for His honor and glory and His purpose alone. All are God's. Everyone, everything is His and must be treated as such, with loving care and respectful responsibility. Human life in particular has an inherent value above all others. Why? Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. We are made in the image of love. God forgives our sinfulness, but God expects us to do better. We heard the prophet Isaiah say today in the first reading, See, I'm going to do something great. I'm doing something new. I'm transforming you into a new creation. The things of the past, forget. The things of long ago, your sinfulness, consider not. You have become something new, something different. But yet, as human beings, we continue to find ourselves in the same sins over and over again, and sometimes inventing new ways to offend God. There's an old saying, if a sheep falls into a ditch, it struggles to get out. If a pig falls in a ditch, it stays there and kind of wallows around in the mud. And human beings can be the same way. We are the sheep of God's flock. We might fall into the ditch, but we must struggle to get out with the help of the shepherd. Or we can be like pigs and just stay there and wallow around in the mud, being filthy as all get out. As I said, we kill children and we tear each other to pieces by our words and actions for the sake of our own responsibility, our own personal pleasures. And we look at the multiplication of sins over and over again. You name it, people are doing it in any way, shape, and form. And it's not just people far away, it's here, in our own town, under our own noses. Every kind of misuse of God's gifts, sexual and otherwise, destroying us. It's a serious matter. It's a matter of life and death, when these things should be a matter of life and love. This is why St. Paul tells us, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, love your husbands and respect them as you love and respect Christ. Children, respect and obey your parents as you would respect and obey the Lord. All of us, to be faithful to the promises that we made at baptism, to reject sin and to live a life of grace. If we have sinned, to reject it again and come back to the life of grace. To the unmarried and to all of us, your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Keep your minds and bodies pure from sin, lest you incur the wrath of God as a result of your rebellion. This woman was caught in adultery, and so are we. We are caught in adultery every day. The scriptures are very clear. Every sin that is committed is an act of adultery against God. We fornicate with false gods of our own desires, the gods of this world, the gods of Satan's temptations. We've been caught, but Jesus calls us back to himself. Again, as Isaiah says, though your sins be like scarlet, come, that they may become white as snow. Though they might be crimson red, come, that they may become white as wool. I do not condemn you, Jesus says. I forgive you, because I love you, says the Lord. But go and sin no more. We do not possess. We have been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. We must therefore, as St. Paul says, forget what lies behind, but strain forward to what lies ahead. Continue your pursuit toward the goal of eternal life, the prize of God's calling, life on high in Christ Jesus.